Chapter 1 Of Unwise Child by Randall Garrett. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Unwise Child. Chapter 1 The kids who tried to jump Mike the Angel were bright enough in a lot of ways, but they made a bad mistake when they tangled with Mike the Angel. They'd done their preliminary work well enough. They had cased the job thoroughly, and they had built the equipment to take care of it. Their mistake was not in their planning. It was in not taking Mike the Angel into account. There is a section of New York's Manhattan Island, down on the Lower West Side, that has been known for over a century as Radio Row. All through this section are stores, large and small, where every kind of electronic and sub-electronic device can be bought, ordered, or designed to order. There is even an old antique shop, known as Ye Quaint Old Electronics Shop, where you can buy such oddities as vacuum tube FM radios and 24-inch cathode ray television sets, and, if you want them, transmitters to match, so you can watch the antiques work. Mike the Angel had an uptown office in the heart of the business district, near West 112th Street, a very posh suite of rooms on the 50th floor of the half-mile-high Timmins Building, overlooking the 200-year-old Gothic edifice of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. The glowing sign on the door of the suite said, very simply, M. R. Gabriel, Power Design. But once or twice a week, Mike the Angel liked to take off and prowl around Radio Row, just shopping around. Usually he didn't work too late, but on this particular afternoon he'd been in his office until after 6 o'clock, working on some papers for the Interstellar Commission. So by the time he got down to Radio Row, the only shop left open was Harry McDougal's. That didn't matter much to Mike the Angel, since Harry's was the place he had intended to go anyway. Harry McDougal's establishment was hardly more than a hole in the wall, a narrow, long hallway between two larger stores. Although not a specialist, like the proprietor of Ye Quaint Old Electronics Shop, Harry did carry equipment of every vintage and every make. If you wanted something that hadn't been manufactured in decades, and perhaps never made in quantity, Harry's was the place to go. The walls were lined with bins, all unlabeled, filled helter-skelter with every imaginable kind of gadget, most of which would have been hard to recognize unless you were both an expert and a historian. Old Harry didn't need labels or a system. He was a small, lean, bony, sharp-nosed Scot who had fled Scotland during the Panic of 37, landed in New York, and stopped. He solemnly declared that he had never been west of the Hudson River nor north of 181st Street in the more than 50 years he had been in the country. He had a mind like that of a robot filing cabinet. Ask him for a particular piece of equipment, and he'd squint one eye closed, stare at the end of his nose with the other, and say, "An M-1993 thermodyne hexode, eh? Ah, aye, I got one. Picked it up a couple of years back. Put it, let me see now." And he'd go to his wall ladder, push it along that narrow hallway, moving boxes aside as he went, and stop somewhere along the wall. Then he'd scramble up the ladder, pull out a bin, fumble around in it, and come out with the article in question. He'd blow the dust off it, polish it with a rag, scramble down the ladder, and say, "Here it is. Thought I had one. Let's go back in the back and give it a test." On the other hand, if he didn't have what you wanted, he'd shake his head just a trifle, then squint up at you and say, "What do you want it for?" And if you could tell him what you planned to do with the piece you wanted, 9 times out of 10 he would come up with something else that would do the job as well or better. In either case, he always insisted that the piece be tested. He refused either to buy or sell something that didn't work. So you'd follow him down that long hallway to the lab in the rear, where all the testing equipment was. The lab, too, was cluttered, but in a different way. Out front, the stuff was dead. Back here, there was power coursing through the ionic veins and metallic
Sample complete. Ready to continue?